Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Everyone that's here and everyone that's also worshiping online. I'm so glad that you decided to join us here at Table Life Church for this service tonight. And I'm Chris. I'm the pastor here at Table Life Church. And it's been a very eventful Advent season, the 4 weeks that are leading up into Christmas. And we've had lots of opportunities to love and to serve our neighbors and to share the joy and the peace and the love and the hope of Jesus. But we celebrate tonight that special time, that special memory in the past, but also looking ahead to the time when Jesus also will come again as he has promised. But I have news for you. If you are new here, if this is your first time with us, first time in a long time, our regulars know that we are a participatory church. Isn't that right? We do sing-alongs together in the middle of worship. We do all kinds of fun things. So I'm going to ask you to participate tonight with me with a couple of questions to get us started in this message. So if you can control one thing, I'm going to just ask a question. That's not the question on the screen just yet. But if you can control one thing, just to get us warmed up, would it be you could control temperature or control precipitation? It's a hard one. If you had your choice, would you choose to control temperature, all hands up, or precipitation, whether it rains or snows or not on that party that you have planned outside? Okay, this is a hard one. Never hearing Wham again, or never hearing Mariah Carey sing All I Want for Christmas Is You ever again, because you've heard it probably a million times this season. So if you could control never hearing Wham again, last Christmas I gave you my heart. The very next day, what'd you do? You gave it away, right? Okay, Mariah, never again. Okay, lots of hands for Mariah. Y'all haters for Mariah. Y'all haters. She's singing a show tomorrow, by the way, on the NBA game. So what about this? If you could control the calories you absorb during the Christmas season or control the drama at Christmas? Ooh, that's a toughie. Okay, calories, you want to control the calories, no calories count. Just eat it all, right? Eat the cookies, everything. We have cookies out there, by the way, if you're with us here. Please take them home. Or control the drama. No drama llama mama, right? No drama at the Christmas season. Okay, what about control how many gifts you receive versus how many gifts you have to buy? That's a toughie too. Control gifts you receive. Can you control the gifts you receive? Okay, what about the gifts you have to buy? Yeah, you're like, I don't know what to get her. I don't know what to get him every year. And what about this last one? Control what is on the TV on Christmas Day. Is it? Do you have on the TV the Christmas movie marathon, 24 hours, or do you turn on NBA games? I guess that's the only, everybody's like, what's that, right? Okay, do you turn on this? You only got two choices here. Okay, do you put on the Christmas Story over and over and over again, or do you put on your NBA games? We've got Sixers playing tomorrow, right? I got all those games. And I think, a lot of times in life, we want to control. I have my little friendly remote controller here. You know, wouldn't it just be great to just, point at something and just go off, right? Like point at somebody, bam, right? You know, just, do that. Or wait, pause. Wait, rewind. Or fast forward. Let's fast forward through that, right? Wouldn't it be great to do that in life, to be in control? Well, that's where today's question comes in. Is there at least one area of your past, your present, or your future that you'd like to control? That you wish you had one of these four specially made, that you could just hit whatever button it is and control it? And if you find yourself tempted to reach over and to grab the person next to you and give them the evil eye there, then you understand, because God is about to speak to you today. You might have a control issue. Well, in our Advent series, like I said, the 4 weeks leading up until Christmas, we've had this theme of back to the future. Yes, it's like tied to the movie and everything, but we looked at the story of Christmas, of Jesus' coming, as really described like that. That there are over 300 prophecies in the Bible that were written centuries before Jesus that predicted Jesus' coming. His birth, but also who he would be and what he was about. That we look back to see who Jesus was predicted to be and what people thought was going to happen. But then, and God promised to send a king, a savior, to rescue his people. That there were lots of dark times in the life and the history of the people of Israel. That they had been obedient to God and then been disobedient, and there were lots of conquering nations that had come in, and they were kind of up and down. Just like often we are, right? Like you get it right one moment, the next moment you blow it. Well, they did the same thing. Well, God had promised to send them someone, to send someone that was going to be a solution, who was going to save them from their sins, who was going to save them also from the evil forces around them, from conquering them, that to bring them back. And one of those prophecies comes from the book of Isaiah, written by the prophet Isaiah. And it says this in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Maddie just read that in the scripture that was written when Jesus was about to be born. Isaiah shared that hundreds of years, centuries before the coming of Christ. Well, guess what happened? A lot of time passed, actually like 700 years passed between those words that Isaiah had shared and the coming of Christ. Everybody was anticipating this king to come to save them, to rip apart their enemies and cast them away, to make all things right. And they wanted Christmas to come. They wanted Jesus to come. They wanted someone to come. But the thing was, Israel could not control when Christmas would come. They couldn't control it. There were a lot that attempted to do so. Historically, there were hundreds of people that claimed to be the Messiah. I don't know if you know that. There were people that stood up and said, I'm the Messiah. I'm the king. I'm going to save everybody. And guess what happened to them? Right? That's why we don't know them. They tried to make Christmas happen. But then, 700 years after those words spoken by Isaiah, we hear these words that were written by Luke in his gospel, who shared this news. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed. Say confused and disturbed. Confused and disturbed. Maybe that's you this Christmas. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus. He'll be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." And what did Mary respond? Well, Mary responded to the angel, "Well, this is not a convenient time for me, angel. I have things to do, places to go. This is not in my 5-year goals or 5-year plan." No, she didn't say that. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And you know what? I love that's in the NIV, the New International Version. We have all these different translations of the Bible. Another translation called the ESV, the English Standard Version, it says that last verse there, it says it like this. It says, "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord.'" And then I love it. She quotes the Beatles. She says, "Let it be." Can you say that with me? "Let it be." Can you sing it? "Let it be, let it be, let it be." See, we do sing-alongs here. Anyway, "Let it be. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be." And so that's where we start today. And maybe you're thinking when it comes to control, like you're not like, I'm not controlling, like he's controlling, she's controlling. You know, I'm just aggressively helpful. But that's the thing. Beyond, if we're honest, I think to some point we all wrestle with controlling things, controlling people. You know, your kids, even if you have adult kids, right? They're grown. We try to control them. We try to control how people dress, what they wear, what they say. You try to control how the dishwasher is loaded, because you know how to do it right. You control your boss. You control your coworkers. You can try to control lots of things. You know, some of us, I like to say, are wound so tight that you make coffee nervous. You know, some of us want to control what happened in the past, what people say about us now, what took place, and you know, you're up at night trying to figure out, like, you know, all the hundreds of things that you should have done. You try to control what people think about you. You know, it takes you 37 shots to get the perfect Christmas photo in front of your tree, and then it takes you another 45 minutes to edit it on your phone and try to get things right, and then so it's posted on social media. But the thing is, what's interesting is the more that we try to be in control, the more that we fear losing control. And the more you fear losing control, the more you try to be in control. And that's why we're looking at this today. We're looking at this very out of control situation that was the first Christmas. All was not calm. All was far from bright. It was all out of control. And what's interesting, in the story we just shared from Luke, we see that Mary, even Mary couldn't control what would happen when she said yes to God. She couldn't control any of it. She couldn't control what was ahead. You know, when we hear how the angel appears to Mary, you know, a lot of times, don't we tend to, like, think that she's superhuman? You know, if you've heard this story before and other Christmas from long ago, you know, you see Mary. I mean, you go to some churches, you see statues of her everywhere. I mean, there's, like, cathedrals that are named after Mary. She's a saint in the Catholic tradition. You know, your neighbor has a giant Mary in her yard, in their yard. Mary's everywhere. But the thing is, we have to realize that she was just an ordinary, like, 13 to 15-year-old girl. She was a teenager. And in her culture, you know, she didn't have as many options as we do. She had basically her life planned out, that there were arranged marriages, that parents would gather together and talk about their children and kind of arrange marriages. And she lived in a very limited, small community. There was a planned way of even doing things when she was engaged, and she was engaged to Joseph. You know, there was no such thing as running off to Vegas to elope. There were no photo shoots. There was no registry. There was no slow dancing to Thinking Out Loud. There was no slow dancing to Neil Diamond either. You had to wait months while a husband would build an addition to his family's home before they would have the wedding ceremony. And guess who would be at the wedding? You really didn't get to choose. Everybody in the whole town. Everybody you grew up with. Everybody would be at the wedding. But here, we see an angel comes to Mary and throws that all away. Like, she says, no. No, no, no. God has something very different for you, Mary. God has something very, very different that's planned for you. 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to visit Israel. And on that trip, there was a church that we visited where in Nazareth, where Mary grew up and where she received that word from the angel. And there's a church, it's called the Church of the Annunciation. And it's very interesting that inside the church, all around the sides of the church are murals. Murals from, I don't know exactly how many, but many, many countries around the world. And they all depict Mary and Jesus. But do you see some of, these are some examples of them. Some from the Philippines, some from, I believe Sweden is in there. Let me see, the United States is the one that's top center there. But they're all different versions and pictures of Mary. And the intent behind that, you know what the intent is? That we would see ourselves in the story. That we would see a reflection of ourselves in the story of Mary and even seeing ourselves in Jesus. And that's Mary, right? Disturbed and confused. Do you see yourself there? You disturbed and confused? Mary had a lot to lose. She had a lot to lose in her future. She had a plan and hopes and dreams up ahead. But then what she didn't see coming came. What she didn't see coming came. You know, think about that. Even for us, that often happens. And maybe that's where you are right now, or you've been there. You know, what you didn't see coming, it came and it hit you. Maybe it's with the kids or with the family or with the job or some kind of like radical lifestyle change or a diagnosis. Maybe for you, it's even an empty chair at the Christmas table this year. And that person was there last year, but for whatever reason, they're not there this year. What's outside of your control? See, when you think about Mary, Mary didn't know the end of the story when she told the angel, "Let it be." She didn't know the end of the story. And for us, friends, we don't know the end of the story either for us. But Mary, in that moment, she had a choice to make. You know, that she wouldn't have the power to control things, but what she did have the power to do was surrender. Mary couldn't have the power to control things, but what she did have the power to do was surrender. And everything around us, right, tries to convince us in our culture that everything is up to you, right? It's your fault if something doesn't happen. Some of us have carried guilt our whole lives. Like, right, you're handed the remote, like, you control it. Like, you just go there, you turn that behind. You press the right buttons, you get what you want, and that's what happens. But it doesn't turn out that way. See, Mary realized that she didn't have that power to control things, but she did have the power to surrender to God. See, Jesus even goes on to later say something that I think is diametrically opposed to everything in our culture today. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, Jesus said this. He said, if you cling to your life, if you try to be in control, you're actually going to lose it. But instead, if you give up your life, if you surrender and you trust me, Jesus says, you will find it. In other words, to fully follow Jesus, to fully follow God, is to surrender control. And to let it be. And it's a very weird, strange thing to do that. But let me also say this, that surrendering control does not mean doing nothing. It does not mean sitting on the couch, eating bonbons, watching soaps, and praying for Jesus to come and fix everything and take it away. It doesn't work that way. See, following God's call means doing very hard things. It means making hard decisions, taking hard paths, doing hard things. But surrendering control, you know what it does mean? It means doing your part, but then letting God do his. Doing your part and letting God do his. And when we look at Mary's surrender, when we look at Mary's story, what's so interesting is fast forward from that moment. We see fast forward from that moment that every time that Mary decides to surrender something to God, she eventually sees the evidence of the faithfulness of God. Every time she surrenders something to God, she eventually, not at the time that she wants, but as she eventually sees the evidence of the faithfulness of God, and it's not always easy. So imagine this. Imagine you're Mary. So what about the Joseph thing, right? She's engaged, and now she's going to be pregnant. Like, there's a problem here, right? This could end really badly, and it almost does. But then what does God do? He sends an angel to talk to Joseph through a dream to confirm that the whole thing is legit. What about the people, right? All the people that Mary grew up with in town. They're all whispering, right? They saw the donkey over Joseph's house at 2 a.m. They know what was going on, right? How do you control that? How do you control what people are saying? Well, the Holy Spirit confirms Mary's pregnancy to her relative Elizabeth, who herself is, we talked about this in our sermon about Elizabeth. She was ancient. That's what the scripture says. She was ancient, not just elderly, but like ancient. And here she is. She receives a word from God confirming that Mary is going to give birth to Jesus. And then even after Jesus' birth, we have this fleeing to Egypt that takes place. You know why? Because the king gets word, and the king is threatened by another king supposedly being born, and he goes and he wants to kill all the baby boys under age of two. And but what a horrible, horrible thing to take place. Well, Mary and Joseph, they receive word, and they flee to Egypt, and guess what? After being in Egypt for a while, they end up in Nazareth. In Nazareth. And that fulfills a prophecy that was written centuries before that says he shall be called a Nazarene. He'll be a guy who grows up in Nazareth. And then fast forward just a little bit more, even Jesus, who prays in the garden before he goes to the cross, before he gives his life, he's praying in the garden, and he's sweating blood at that point. And he begs God and prays to God. Maybe you've prayed a prayer like this. He asks God, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. And he's talking about the coming suffering he was going to experience. And then what he says, believe it or not, it's the exact same Greek word that his mother Mary said in Luke chapter 1. The same Greek word, genomai. And you know what genomai means? Let it be. Let it be. Echoed 33 years after Mary, Jesus says the same words, not my will, but yours be done. The word is the same, genomai. Let it be. See, God can do way more with our surrender than we can do with our control. After centuries of waiting and trying to control, when Christmas would come, the promised Messiah and King, Jesus, was born in an inconvenient time, in a less than hospitable place, to an unexpected couple who chose to do the next right thing and trusted God with their next step. So this Christmas, as we look to Jesus and celebrate his birth, what are you trying to control that you need to surrender? Maybe this Christmas, everything is as it should be and as you'd like it to be. But, or maybe for you, it's far from it. If you're totally honest, this is not a happy time for you. Maybe you've been trying to control things or people, and it's been keeping you up at night. Maybe it's like killing you from the inside out. See, you can hold on to the illusion of control, or you can experience one of the most freeing moments in your life without knowing what the future looks like. Instead, to genomai, to let it be. And it doesn't mean stopping doing your part. It doesn't mean stopping doing what you are called to do. Like I said, following God is a very, very hard thing to do, especially in this world. But it means stopping trying to do everybody else's part and stopping trying to do God's part. See, there, only there is where we can find hope, peace, love, and maybe even a little bit of joy and feel a little bit lighter. See, friends, on this night, Christ was born. Couldn't predict it. Couldn't control it. Mary didn't know what was ahead, but we celebrate our Emmanuel, God with us. And my prayer for you this Christmas is that you would be open to what God is doing, what he is showing, where he is leading, however hard the path may be. Because the ending may be a little bit different than you thought. Let's pray.